Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's wonderful to have you together in worship as we stood and sang songs to the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. What an honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. We are in the Magnify Christ series, and this is the seven I Am statements of Jesus Christ found in the Gospel of John. And a couple things at play today. I have a little bit of sinus working, so I took half an antihistamine pill a couple of hours ago. So if I make a mistake, I'll blame the antihistamine. but we're covering the chapters of 7 and 8, John chapter 7 and John chapter 8. And John chapter 7, Jesus stood and said, I am the light. He said, I am living water. And so we sang of living water. And I want to thank Melissa and her team for the beautiful display of living water. And the example that you and I are the branch, right? Jesus said, I am the vine. And as you remain connected in me, you receive my life, my living water. And so we're going to talk about that. And that is not an I am statement. So there are seven statements, and he didn't say I am. He said a different way. And then chapter 8, we're going to talk about the light of the world. So we have two themes playing together. But we're going to rehearse through these. And I just want to remind you that the book of John is two sections. The first half are the miracles and the teachings, the dialogue, the discourse of Jesus with individuals, his followers, of course, the people are in his circle, but especially also the Pharisees. And we learn a lot from that. And then the latter half is his private ministry, where John takes us deep into the last few weeks of Jesus' time here on earth. And what's happening as we read through this is we see a difference between dark and light, a difference between believing and unbelieving, and those who accepted and trusted Jesus and those who rejected. And as we read through, there's a growing number of people who did not believe in him, who rejected him, but there's a growing number of people who did believe. And he would take them more increasingly in depth into his teachings. And this included his brothers. In the beginning of John chapter 7, and yes, one of my favorite things in kindergarten was we would get out our little mats. I don't remember if it was a rolly mat or a blanket, but we would get our mats, and then we would sit on it, and we'd get comfortable, and the teacher would read to us. So I would love to read to you chapter 7 and chapter 8, but that would take more time than I have and you have. So I'm basically just going to weave through it. When I do write the weekly word each week, I encourage you to read ahead so you'll know what we're talking about. So if you haven't read John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, I encourage you to go back and look at this. It begins with Jesus and his brothers, right? Jesus had half-brothers that were born to Joseph and Mary after Jesus' miraculous birth, and they were in a level of disbelief with him, right? They didn't really know how to take their big brother. And so Jesus was saying, I'll stay back. And they were saying, well, go and teach publicly. You know, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. They were kind of teasing him. And he said, no, you all go up to Jerusalem. They were going up to the Festival of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Booths. Simple way to say it would be Festival of Tents. And this was an annual migration where all the men in Israel were required to go. And we saw that last week, that a lot of people were on their way. And so Jesus did his teaching in that setting. But it was a beautiful time, this festival, 5 or so days after Yom Kippur. It is still practiced today. In 2000 and 10, I think. We were in Santa Fe, New Mexico on a stateside assignment from Japan, and our youngest son met a little Jewish boy in his class, and the family invited us over, and they had actually built a wooden, with sticks and twigs and branches, a booth, a tent in the backyard. And we ate with them a very special meal and had a special time of honoring. So it was a celebration of the Thanksgiving, right? The harvest that had come in, but it had deep meaning. And this dialogue between Jesus and the people continued because, in spite of what he said to his brothers, he went to Jerusalem. And even though they were looking for reasons to arrest him and catch him in the teaching, and we'll see this over and over again, he went and he was teaching in the temple area. And there was some bantering and maybe baiting, I would say. He was a little sharp with them because, remember, Jesus was always compassionate and kind with the seeking and the tender-hearted, the people who needed healing. But with those who thought they had it together, Jesus was quite critical and very harsh with the Pharisees. And he said, "You guys are trying to kill me." And they're like, "What?" And he said, "You actually work on the Sabbath," right? Because we had talked about they were accusing him of working on the Sabbath last week. And then crowds began to speculate. And this was that growing tension, if you will. As Jesus became more and more popular, people started to say, "Hey," to each other, "is this the Messiah? Is this the one that we've been expecting?" And so in the end of this, the leaders tried to arrest him, but Jesus said, "You will search for me when you cannot find me, and where I'm going, you cannot go." So let's pause and pray. Jesus, you are living water. You are the bread of life. You are the light of the world. You are our way, our truth, and our life. And Lord, as we look at your interaction with people this morning, open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, you are moving among us. And Father God, we continue to bow before your throne and ask you to do an amazing work in our lives as individuals and in our corporate body. Lord, as we have brothers and sisters come, some here for the first time, and some this is their last Sunday, Lord, thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church. Thank you that you are with us. You are our light, our bread, our way, our truth, and you are the light of this world. And you've called us your lights. So allow us today to understand a little more deeply of who you were and who you are and who you are making us to be as individual followers of Christ, but as a corporate community as well. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my first thought today is, and I know it's on because I turned it on. Okay, let's go to the next one. There we go. Jesus is living water. Chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of this festival, this is the festival of booths that we were referring to just a minute ago, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Now think about this. He was sometimes being very private with his followers, and yet here he was standing and shouting, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink," right, deeply. "For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from your heart." And we have a parenthesis in verse 39 where John tells us when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet come, because Jesus had not yet entered his glory. So if you don't understand some of the setting, then maybe you don't understand why the significance of what Jesus said. During this festival, each day, the religious leaders would go to one of the fountains, and in the one that I read, it was actually the same one where he healed the man that was could not walk. And so they would take the water, and in great procession, they would take it back to the temple, and they would pour out the water as a drink offering at the altar. And so Jesus, when he said, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink," right? Because I am the living water. He didn't say, "I am the living water." He said that scriptures say that rivers of living water will flow from your heart. And so that caused a lot of confusion and disbelief and division among the crowds. And so some thoughts that I want to go through today, just think about this living water that we sang about just a few minutes ago. And I want to just go through some scriptures because this is a beautiful theme in the Bible. So Psalm 36:5 reads, Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your rivers of delight. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Pour out your unfailing love on those who love you. Give justice to those whose hearts are true. So do you see the beautiful theme of light and water? This beautiful river of delight, and I put another one, river of healing. This is from Ezekiel 47:1. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. This is Elijah speaking when, Ezekiel. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its side, south side. The man brought me outside of the wall into the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Fruit trees of all kinds grew along both sides of the river, and the leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for the food and leaves for healing. So this is a river of healing. Do you see the beautiful imagery that Jesus, when he said, "Come to me, anyone who's thirsty, and I will give you living water." He's referencing these. Of course, a few weeks ago, we covered the woman at the well. And right, what did he say? He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying this to you, you know, give me a drink, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living water." Right? And she said, "Yes, Jesus, I want that." And then a couple of verses from Revelation. Revelation 7:17 says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." Right? Do you see the beautiful image of healing and restoration and rivers of living water that are poured out on you and me previously, now, and also in the future? And then Revelation 22:1, Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It flowed down the center of Main Street. Each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, for his servants will worship him. So you and I are invited by Jesus to come to him and receive this living water, to let this living water flow in us and through us and to others. We're receiving him. Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from their heart. And so there's rivers of living water. And then before we move to chapter 8, that was all just chapter 7. So chapter 8, there's a beautiful story, an encounter. And some of the ancient texts don't have it, but I believe that exactly what we have is exactly what God wants us to have. So it's the story of the woman caught in adultery. And the Pharisees caught her, and they brought her to Jesus. And it was a lose-lose situation. Remember, they were trying to trap him. And they said, what do we do with her? If Jesus refused to condemn her of the death penalty, he could be charged with contradicting the law of God and would himself be liable for condemnation. If, on the other hand, he confronted the verdict of the Pharisees, he would lose his reputation for compassion, and possibly he could have been reported to the Romans as inciting the Sanhedrin to an independent exercise of the death penalty. So what did Jesus do? It's a beautiful story. He bent down and he wrote in the dirt. We don't know what. But when he stood up, he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And he bent back down and he wrote in the sand again. And one by one, it says, from the older to the younger, the accusers disappeared. And when they had gone, he stood back up and said to her, woman, which was an address of honor, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she replied, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So Jesus didn't condone the sin, but he didn't condemn the person. He offered forgiveness. And he instructed her, go and sin no more. Don't let this happen again. Our Jesus is a Jesus of compassion and love. And you and I are much like the woman. Because we are failed and flawed, we are a broken and sinful people. And yet Jesus offers to us, he says in Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I who are in Christ, we have no condemnation. So we take this living water and we drink and we receive the Spirit, this healing fruit, the leaves that are healing in our lives, and we turn and we trust in Jesus, who is the light of the world. In verse 12 of chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people once more. This is immediately after this incident, right? See, the beauty of he just turns to those who were left, probably most of them his followers, maybe some curious. And he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. You won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, there were some Pharisees around because in verse 13 it says the Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. And Jesus told them, these claims are valid, even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own laws say that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. And of course, their natural response is, who's your Father? Because they don't get him. They don't understand, right? They're thinking on the physical realm. He's talking on the spiritual realm. And Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you know me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested. Why? Because it was not yet his time. So some thoughts about Jesus being the light of the world, our light of the world, is light as illumination. Saatchi prayed earlier, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I hide your words in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So we have the light of Scripture. We have the light of the world in Jesus Christ living in us and illuminating us and our circumstances. A good illustration I heard is when you turn on your headlights on a vehicle, how far can you see? Depends on the vehicle, right? Some of them not very far. But if you have good ones, you could probably see maybe 50, 60 to 80 meters, right? And so you're driving along and it's dark beyond that. But the illustration is the light of the world gives us just enough light to know where to go because we're trusting in him as he is leading us into our future and into what he wants us to do. And then light as heat and power. Now, there are so many illustrations. Heat and power, the first thing I think about is the sun. It was just, I think it was Friday. I went for a walk and same park that I was sitting at before. Sharon isn't feeling well, so I was alone this time. And I just sat there and let the heat of the sun on my face warm me. You know, it was cool out, but the sun was nice and warm. And I'm grateful and thankful that we have been given this light that gives us health, vitamin D, and it causes the plants to grow. God is caring for you and me, even in giving us things. Okay, there we go. I guess the batteries just ran out. And then let me just jump to this. Light versus darkness. You see this theme over and over again in the scriptures. That as in 1 John 1:7, but if we are living in the light, the same John wrote, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're moving from our old sinful nature, living in the dark, operating in the dark, operating in our old sinful nature, and we're being transformed by the light that is moving us to where we walk in the light and we do right, we speak right, we take on his righteousness, and he works through us, completing us and growing us into the people that he is calling us to be. And then the third thought for today, and this is verse 28 through, I think, 58. So a lot of verses. I'm just going to cover it. Verse 28, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, and he's still speaking to the Pharisees, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father has taught me.
This is the third time in this chapter, verse 24, 28, and 58, where Jesus says the I am statement, the ego I me, right? We're going back to when Moses was at the burning bush and he asked God, what is your name? And God's reply was, Yahweh, I am who I am. I am that I am. I have been, I exist, and I will always be. Okay, the I am statements. And this is what Jesus is referring to. And it is a claim of pre-existence, self-existence, and eternal being. Jesus is claiming here divine nature, reaffirming his subordination to the Father as the bearer of his message. So both his nature and his message, Jesus, nature and message, come from the Father. He is sent by the Father to be for you and me, to all who trust in him, living water and the light of the world. So a couple of thoughts. The preeminence of Christ, right? Christ is all in all. Jesus the Christ, Jesus Messiah, Christ and Messiah being the same word, right? We are in, for, through, around. Everything is about Christ. We proclaim Jesus, born of a virgin, died on the cross, rose again, and returned to his Father in glory. It is Christ by which we live and breathe and have our life, right? It's all about Christ, the primacy, the primary aspect of Christ. And then the preexistence of Christ. We're talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is that perfect union with each other that the I Am statement teaches us has always been, is existing, and always will be. So Jesus, the man, was fully God in human form. And I understand that that's difficult to conceptualize, and so we have illustrations, but usually those illustrations break down. So it's just something that we trust. It's something that we believe in. It's something that we confess and pray over one another. And then I put the preparation of Christ. He was being prepared at this time for the cross. He came to be the sacrifice for you and me, right? Earlier in John, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is your light. This is your life. This is your Christ in whom you and I can trust. And then verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, remember, note who he's addressing, you are my true disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? We're abiding, we're the branches, he's the trunk, right? He's the vine. We remain and abide in him, and as we're remaining, as we're receiving from him light and life, then we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. And then Jesus said in verse 34 and 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is we are slaves to sin no more. We can claim the blood of Christ to cover us, to cleanse us, to free us from what holds us in bondage. And then finally in verse 58, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. And at that point, they picked up stones, the stone again, to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. Once again, Jesus, it was not his time, but little by little, he was revealing himself to the people. And so what you and I can learn today is that Jesus is living water. We can continue to drink from him and receive him and remain in him and his work through us, creating us into the people that we are to be individually in our families, in our corporate world, in our work or our schooling, wherever the Lord has placed you, and then as brothers and sisters, the body of Christ. And then Jesus is the I Am. And so I wanted to put up again last week, being righteous, ever anticipating deliverance is the bread, and then living in full emancipation. So if I try to summarize the light, I would say love incarnate gives hope and truth. Love incarnate, Jesus, who became flesh, gives you and me the hope and the truth that we need to live day to day in the world and in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Join me in standing, and I'll close in prayer, and we'll sing a song. Father, thank you that you are the light of the world, that you cast away darkness, not only for the world, but for us as individuals, as the body of Christ. And Lord, we choose to walk in the light as you are in the light. And you cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. And we trust in you. Thank you that you are the light of the world, and your light gives us life and hope. Bless my brothers and sisters today and the reading of your word. And Lord, work in us a continual miracle of what you're doing in us as individuals and in the corporate body. Thank you for Emmanuel, and thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.